Please, while I begin the recording. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the RPM subteam for trademark claims taking place on the 15th of May, 2019. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Zoom room. If you're only on the telephone bridge, could you please identify yourselves now? Hearing no one, I would like to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and telephones on mute, your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking, to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Julie Hedlund. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry. This is Julie Hedlund from staff, and I'll just quickly go through the agenda, which you see on the screen. And we have the updates to statements of interest. Number two is a very brief review of the timeline and work plan. Then we go to three, the development of preliminary recommendations, and that would be a discussion of question five, and if time permits, individual proposal number 11. And item four is any other business. May I ask if anyone has any other business? I'm not seeing any hands. Then I'm going to go back to agenda item one and ask if anyone has any updates to their statements of interest. Also not seeing any hands. Then I'm going to go to agenda item two, the review of the timeline and work plan. And that is what Ariel has brought up in the the Zoom room. And let me go ahead and go to Ariel, please.
Thanks, Julie. This is Ariel from staff. As you can see, the subteam has the two items left for discussion during the meetings. One is a charter question Q5. That's what the subteam is going to discuss today. And then it's the individual proposal number 11 that was identified related to the trademark claims agreed charter questions, but it wasn't specified which one. But for the comprehensiveness of the process, the subteam will still review that. And as you can see, we're ahead of schedule. Most likely we should be able to wrap up the meeting discussions by the end of this month. And also we want to let you know that staff has discussed with the subteam co-chairs about the way we capture the proposed answers, preliminary recommendations, and a review of individual proposals. So there will be a single document to be shared with the subteam at the end of the process for you to review what has been captured so far and to help identify gaps that needs to be addressed in order to wrap up this work. That's all I have. And Julie, do you have anything to add?
No, this is Julie. I don't have anything to add. So let me then suggest that we go ahead and turn things over to Roger to start up the move to the discussion of the preliminary recommendations. And I see that Ariel has brought the document up onto the screen. Roger, please.
Great, thank you. This is Roger. Well, it looks like a nice, short, easy question here. Let's see if we can get through this. I'll read it for anyone that's not got access to it right now. It's question five is, should the trademark claims period continue to be uniform for all types of GLTs in subsequent rounds? I know that this specific, not the specific thing, and I believe in question two. Comments or questions on this?
And Roger, this is Terry. It sounded like you cut out just for a moment towards the end.
I'm sorry about that.
So I think everybody has the question. I just open it up. My one comment was, I think we've talked a lot about this when we were trying to answer question two, but we didn't answer specifically this. So I'll open it up for comments, please. Christine, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Christine Dorain. So I think you're right. We have talked about this before, and I believe where we landed was that we believed that the trademark claims period should continue to more or less be uniform, with the exception that if registry operator business models were such that extending the claims notice, so that which would be non-uniform in the sense that it would be extended longer, that would be something that would be permitted, on a case-by-case basis. So sort of the minimum is uniform, but the max, registries could do more. I think that's where we left it. So I'm going to throw that out into the ethos and see what people think about that. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Christine. Kathy, I see you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me, Roger? This is Kathy.
I hear you great. Thank you.
Okay, happily now in, so thanks for whoever sent the news, much appreciated. Okay, so where I think we left it, and apologies if I'm thinking across both sub-teams, is that there's an open question in the Sunrise sub-team whether there should be an or rather than an and, Sunrise or trademark claims, and whether the registry, based on their business model, should be allowed to decide that. We've also heard, and I think it's captured in two, that some of the GOTLDs, some of the future non-commercial TLDs may not need or want a trademark claims period. So I thought we had built in more flexibility based on, in general, that the trademark claims period seems to be serving its purposes, but we've certainly found problems with it, and we're certainly hearing from registries and registrars that they want more flexibility in the models that they have. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. One comment, just maybe a question to you, Kathy. Is the Sunrise team trying to answer the or question, either Sunrise or claims? I know that this group talked about it briefly, but kind of didn't, it wasn't in the any of the charter questions. So is that something that the Sunrise team is trying to answer?
So good question, Roger. I don't think the Sunrise team can answer the or fully, because they would need the trademark claims.
Okay.
Right? So I think it's a question that, and maybe someone else can correct me since I don't have that particular spreadsheet in front of me, but I think it's a question that may get taken to the working group. Again, in light of this business models, because as Christine mentioned, and I know she was referencing it for something else, there is this kind of desire for more flexibility that we've seen in responses to our surveys by registries. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. All right. Susan, please go ahead.
Thanks. Hi, it's Susan. So my recollection is a little bit different to Kathy's, and would be that I know that there's certainly a charter question in relation to should there be an either or. I'm not sure to what extent we've really discussed that in the Sunrise group yet. But to the extent that we have, certainly it's come up when we were gathering the data and so on. I mean, there really isn't any data that suggests that some particular registry models such as GEOs feel that a claims isn't appropriate. There may be some registry models who've had some, who've raised some considerations in relation to Sunrise, and particularly we're spending a ton of time in the Sunrise group talking about launch programs, so ALPs and QLPs and so on, and that is the area which goes to that specific concern that GEOs and certain city type TLDs have. But it's a Sunrise one, it's not a claims one. It doesn't seem to me that there is any particular rationale for a TLD that is selling names commercially not to run a claims because of the TLD model. We haven't seen any data from that. We haven't heard from anyone suggesting that. We haven't discussed it in the Sunrise group. What we did discuss earlier when we were talking about question two within this claims subteam was the fact that question was, should all TLDs continue to run the Sunrise? And we've already obviously talked about this, and we identified that there might be some TLDs such as dot brands where really the trademark claim serves no purpose. But in this particular question sort of overlaps with that, but I think this is more about, you know, is there any reason why some TLDs or some registries might run a claims of a different period of time than some others? And I would agree with what Christine says that, you know, I thought that we had agreed that we thought they all should run something that's uniform, save that we've never felt that we should be removing the allowance that allows any registry to go further than the minimum. So if a registry wants to run a permanent claims, I don't think any of us have ever suggested that they shouldn't be allowed to if they think that that's appropriate and something that they want to do.
Okay, great. Susan, one question for you, just to clarify for me. So you mentioned a brand maybe not running Sunrise. Are you suggesting that they may not run a claims? Or are you thinking that they should still run a claims even for a brand, a dot brand?
Oh, sorry. I think I misspoke. I mean, brands already don't run a Sunrise. Sorry. Okay. What I was meaning to say was that when we were talking about question, I think you said it was question two.
Yes.
We did identify the possibility that brands might not need to run a claims because it serves no real purpose.
Okay.
And that's already captured.
Okay, great. Thank you, Susan. Just a couple comments about the chat, if people are reading it or not. It seems to be Griffin agrees with what Susan was just saying, so I won't go through his detailed message to the group, but please go ahead and read it if you want. And I think that's the bigger one. Kathy, you got your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Roger. Always fun coming off mute. Still learning Zoom. So I have the Sunrise table in front of me, question 5B. And so I just want to read it, and forgive me for reading some of it, but you should see what it is that we're discussing in Sunrise, which is, so question 5B, in light of evidence gathered, should the Sunrise period continue to be mandatory or become optional? And then sub question, should the working group consider returning to the original recommendation from the IRT and STI of Sunrise period or trademark claims in light of other concerns, including freedom of expression and fair use? And in considering mandatory versus optional, should registry operators be allowed to choose between Sunrise and claims, that is, make one mandatory? And in the analysis group survey results, our summary of the in the Sunrise subteam is that there seems to be a need for the working group to consider returning to the original recommendation of the IRT and SDI, as there are concerns, as Susan noted, with the implementation of ALP and QLP, particularly as relevant for GOTLDs, e.g. issues with notice on ALP allowed number of GOTLD strings under QLP. Wow, that's written in Greek. And that registry operator respondents, and I know they weren't huge, but you know, we went out to get data, right? So registry operator respondents prefer Sunrise and claims to be optional, with a slight preference for Sunrise to be mandatory and claims to be optional. Thanks for letting me put that input in, Roger. And so I think, I think there's a note also, you know, the permanent claims, wow. You know, if we're creating a baseline, I think we're creating a baseline. But so it looks like we're looking at both extremes, the optional versus mandatory, and also this idea of permanent claims. How far can you go? Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Kathy. I think staff has their hand up. Mary?
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Roger. Hi, everyone. It's Mary from staff. So if it helps, just to bring everybody back to where this team is, two observations. One is that in relation to these questions, I think, as you said, Roger, there's a little bit of overlap with question five and some earlier questions. But what the staff has captured to date is that this sub-team believes that there should continue to be a mandatory minimum claims period. It should not be shortened. but due to business flexibility or the needs of the dot brand GTLD, there might need to be some flexibility. For example, as Christine said, perhaps some registry operators, due to their business models, could extend the claims period. So that is what the staff has captured in relation to this topic so far. On the question of the Sunrise discussion, as Kathy notes, that is a question that is coming up for the Sunrise sub-team. The Sunrise sub-team, I believe, hasn't got there yet. So one thing that Roger and Martin, you might want to take back to the other leadership teams is, you know, where that discussion should take place, in one or both of the sub-teams or at the working group level. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mary. All right, Susan, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, just briefly, I just wanted to flag, actually, it looks as though it's been flagged in the chat as well, that Kathy very correctly identified that we have that question 5B in relation to the Sunrise, which is obviously a charter question that we've been tasked with answering. We haven't, in the Sunrise group, discussed that yet. So none of that is anywhere close to being something that we're recommending. We haven't started the debate on it. I wanted to flag that just to make sure that that's clear on the record for anyone who doesn't, you know, who hasn't been on the call and calls in later. And I didn't want anyone to be confused about that. And then I just wanted to say, you know, that Kathy, again, very helpfully identified some data. I agree with her that you know, we got almost no data from registry operators, and despite spending an enormous amount of time doing our extensive data gathering or attempting to gather data exercise, we had almost no responses. And the ones that Kathy's identified really, really show how little use the registry responses were, if I could put it that way. Because on the one hand, we supposedly have, you know, one, I think it was registry, who raised some issues with launch programs, QLPs, ALPs, and so on. Those are issues relating to Sunrise. They are not issues relating to claims. If one understands how those launch programs operate, it's very clear. However, then Kathy's also identified that registries, to the extent that there was a preference identified, were identifying a preference for having Sunrise rather than claims. So those two things are completely contradictory to each other, and really just go to demonstrate how little use that anecdote that we gathered really is for us.
Great, thanks, Susan. Okay, so it looks like I was just gonna ask Rebecca. Rebecca, please go ahead.
Rebecca Tushnet, thank you. I guess my sense is anything beyond the lowest common denominator that I proposed in the chat sounds basically premature or requires answering a bunch of other questions, which I don't think there's consensus on. So at least for our purposes, I guess I would say let's stick with the lowest common denominator, recognizing that there are questions on which people may have different opinions that are related, but just not answered here. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Rebecca. So I think what I'm hearing then, the group is the baseline everybody keeps going back to is the 90-day claim that's uniform for GTLDs with some outlying questions possibly. Is that correct? I will let you ponder that. And Kathy, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Roger, I had a question for Mary, actually, about whether staff summary now includes kind of what you were saying, that there's no consensus on change at this point, but that a number of concerns have been raised about trademark claims as a that aren't necessarily applicable to all types of GTLDs. And so that there's no consensus on permanent trademark claims, and there's we have heard, to the extent we have gathered data and we went out and we spent a lot of time and a lot of money getting it, we have heard, you know, concerns about both Sunrise and trademark claims. So I don't think we're in the position yet. I think would be a working group decision, and I say that not as co-chair, but as a member of the sector, to make that either or decision, but that we've certainly heard that not every, you know, registries have concerns about trademark claims. Sorry, that's not concise, but wanted to go back and see again with Mary if the summary has now changed. Thanks.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Kathy. If I can call on Mary.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Roger. And thanks for the question, Kathy. So this may be a good opportunity for the sub-team to clarify. So to summarize what I said above, there is no draft recommendation. We heard no support for a permanent claims service from the sub-team. What we did hear from the past few weeks was agreement first, that there should continue to be a minimum mandatory claim service. Second, that it should not be shortened, but that thirdly, in certain circumstances, those claims periods could be extended. And that takes into account some of the concerns we heard from the surveys that were collected. So I hope it's clear that that's what we captured. And based on the group's discussion over the last few weeks, it did seem that there was wide support as is required by the process, even if that is not unanimous, as I believe what we're hearing here today. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Mary. Susan, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, what Mary has just summarized would accord with what I think we've all discussed and the kind of the sense that we reached in previous calls. And I just did want to circle back again to this idea that Kathy has raised, that there have been registries who have expressed concerns with the operation of the claims in the context of their business model. And I simply don't agree that that's the case. The registries with particular business models who expressed concerns were expressing concerns about Sunrise. The ALP and QLP processes are about trying to get names to particular individuals, companies, classes of registrant in advance of a Sunrise. They have no impact whatsoever on claims, as far as I can see, and I don't believe anyone raised a concern with claims in that context.
Okay, great. Thanks, Susan. Kathy, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
So to Susan, you know, I read directly off the sheet that, you know, this was our summary table. And so, you know, obviously registries did raise issues on this. And those, some of those issues, I think, have to come back to this sub-team, because they're not all Sunrise. They did express preferences to have Sunrise over claims, just reading our summaries that we agreed to. To Mary, I don't think there is cross-stakeholder group agreement on the summary that you've provided. And I'll ask again for more to be included. I do believe that our answers to question two included that some GTLDs, future new GTLDs, might not need trademark claims. And it might be inappropriate to have trademark claims for them, and that we were willing to consider and probably put out for public comment what subgroup that might be. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy. Christine, please go ahead.
This is Christine. I just wanted to support what Susan said, which is that the Sunrise table that you're reading from, Kathy, really was related to registry's concerns about Sunrise, not about claims. I put this in the chat, but registry operators might find that Sunrise, that claims are kind of a pain in the ass because it's another thing we have to plug into. It is not the type of thing. It's the sort of thing where you give, you know, people are chugging along merrily, dealing with whatever obstacles are placed in their path. And then you're given, well, you have a choice to, like, you know, remove this slight minor speed bump hindrance. Yeah, sure. You know, you were asked, if you had your druthers, would you have claims or sunrise? People said, sure. I don't think the fact that people have a slight preference for an either or means that, you know, we have to upend an entire system that seems to be balanced and working. And I think we have decided on both sub teams that sunrise and claims are both working. So to the extent that one, that they are both working, I don't understand why we would remove them. Registries expressed concerns about sunrise for the reasons Susan mentioned. Registrars express concerns about claims because it is a little bit more of a pain in the ass for registrars to integrate with the claims, the claims service. So yeah, some registrars don't like it. It presents a bit of a hurdle for them. But this is a balancing test. We are not here to remove every single barrier in every single person's path. We are here to make sure that there's a balance between protecting intellectual property interests and making things not super cumbersome for registries and registrars. Registries and registrars today integrate with Sunrise and claims and do so relatively painlessly now because the kinks are worked out. So to the extent that we don't add anything new that's going to screw them up, stuff will just keep on chugging. And so I don't think we need to come in and now upset the apple cart, change the way we plug into Trademark Clearinghouse, mess up the whole system because a couple of registries or registrars said, gosh, my life would be slightly easier if I didn't have to do both. We have a balancing test, and this is a substantive balancing test, not a would my life be less of a pain in the ass balancing test. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Christine. So it seems like the group likes the idea of a 90-day claims, but I think people are tripping up on the comment that we made in answering number two, and that some TLDs may not have a claims period. And I think we've said that multiple times today as well. Some maybe brands and something else that doesn't make sense to have claims on. So I think maybe we're tripping over the fact that we're saying it's a mandatory claims period, but we're not actually saying that it's a mandatory claims period. We're saying if you run claims, you have to run it for 90 days. Is that summary accurate to everyone? All right. Greg, thanks for joining. Please go ahead.
Thanks. It's Greg Chatton for the record. And I guess while the summary that you said sounds right as far as it goes, I think where it gets interesting, or where perhaps the agreement would fail to proceed, is which, if any, TLDs would not have claims. Brands is given as the example because they don't have outside registrants, and therefore there's no point to it. But besides that, I can't think of any example that gained wide acceptance, or maybe even modest acceptance of a type that shouldn't have a claims period. And it obviously makes sense to have no claims period where you have no registrants other than the registry. But other than that, I think we don't want to express a general exception when there's only really a very specific exception. And the general rule really is still everybody has a claims period. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. From my standpoint, I think I see what Greg is saying. And the only one that I can think of is brands. And maybe others can think of why others wouldn't have it. Maybe that is a good point to, if we're going to call it out and we know it's a limited set, that we actually call it out for the set. But I'll go to the list. Phil, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Phil, for the record, I think there seems to be general consensus on, standard 90-day claims period for most TLDs. The only ones I can think of where it wouldn't make sense to have a claims period would be, one, the dot brands, because every registrant is a person or business entity within controlled by the registry operator. They're not going to infringe against themselves. And certain TLDs like .bank that do substantial vetting of their registrant. So, you know, they're making sure that not only is the domain they're registering one that they're entitled to, but that they're a regulated financial institution, et cetera. So maybe the way to get it is to say the general rule should be 90 days with an exception being made for those TLDs that do not permit registrations by all members of the general public. I think that would cover both the dot brands and the specialized vetted ones like dot pharmacy, dot bank, et cetera. I'm not wed to that. It's just trying to give a suggestion that gives flexibility to the ones that deserve it when maintains the claims period for the vast majority of TLDs where infringing registrations are a real possibility. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Phil. All right, Christine, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thanks. This is Christine. So I have a practical suggestion in us, and I also echo, I was going to say something similar to what Phil's going to say, so I'm not going to repeat all that, but essentially the idea of, you know, like a dot bank or a dot, you know, pharmacy or someone that like Uber vets their registrants. And so it's so such a high bar to get in and so many hurdles you have to jump through that, you know, it's probably unlikely that there's any sort of trademark infringement going on. But what I wanted to say is, again, I'm thinking more procedurally and practically here. What the subpro did was they would make some recommendations, and then they would have follow-up questions. So we could make our recommendation, and I'm not going to rephrase it because I'm going to say it wrong. I think we've agreed on what it's going to be. But basically we say we think that, for instance, brands fall into this category. It is also possible that highly regulated, I think they're calling themselves highly regulated TLDs, so I think that's a thing. Like dot bank or dot pharmacy might also fall into this category. We ask an open question to the community. What are there other categories or classifications of TLDs that might also apply, or for which this exemption might also apply? If so, what are those? And if you have concerns about this, like this could be gamed in some way, what concerns do you have? So like getting that out there to the community in our initial report so we can say, we think we have this recommendation. This is what we think it looks like. Tell us, you know, poke holes in it, right? Let us know where we're right or where we're wrong. And I think that was a really good thing that the subpro people did.
Great, thank you. Maybe I'll call on Greg to see if, since he kind of started this path, maybe see what his thoughts are on that. Greg, do you have anything?
Oh, sure. I think that, you know, we're definitely heading, I think, in a good direction, including with regard to the follow-up question idea. I think we will need to think about whether the highly regulated domains really do kind of deal with the issue of potential trademark infringement in another fashion, you know, such that there would be no need for a notice to either party. And it may not be true across the board because the high regulation may, you know, be of one or another sort. But that's not to say that it couldn't be. I just don't think we can say that there's just kind of a one-to-one concordance between the two. And then we have to think about how this would actually be implemented. You know, if there is a review, to see whether the need for the claim has been obviated. The only one where it seems to be kind of self-evident, at least to me, is that where there are no third-party registrants, and it's basically a glorified second-level domain in a sense, that's the no-brainer, but the other ones might actually be brainers, so to speak. Thanks.
Great, thanks, Greg. Christine, you have your hand up. Is that an old hand or a new hand? Thank you. Okay. Any more comments, suggestions on this question? Still some chat going on, so please read the chat. If nothing else, then I'd like to move on to individual proposal 11 and maybe take the last 15 minutes to talk about this, if it's needed. This was submitted by Susan. I don't know if Susan wants to talk to it. And I know it probably applies more to Sunrise, but I think there may be some leaning over to the claims. But if Susan would like to talk to this, please go ahead.
Thanks, Roger. Yeah, I guess I can. And it took me a while. I was a bit confused when I saw this on the agenda because I kept thinking I was sure we'd already talked about this. But of course, that the reason is because we talked about this in the Sunrise subteam and not in the claims one. And so with apologies to the people who are in both subteams and therefore have heard this already. But I do recognize that I did suggest that it might address both, because it wasn't, although I think it really does mostly go to perceived issues or concerns with the Sunrise and the operation of certain registry practices with the Sunrise. I don't see a reason why it couldn't theoretically apply in relation to some registry activity that interfered with the claims process, which I think is why I said both. But yes, the nature of what I was suggesting was that we'd spent a lot of time talking about some practices of registries that obviously brand owners in particular had raised, some concerns they'd had around things like perceptions that they were being disadvantaged by pricing, in particular, by things like the setting of Sunrise pricing at a very significantly higher level than the pricing would be in general availability, and the conceivable outcome of that if the pricing goes to a certain point, then it becomes not just a disincentive to registering a Sunrise registration, but you know, conceivably is sort of undermining the rights protection that we granted to brand owners by effectively making the Sunrise so unpalatable that it's no longer really a genuine right that they're being given an advantage of, or you know, being allowed to access. So as I say, my idea therefore was, we had a lot of conversation in the Sunrise subteam, and indeed we had conversation in Kobe, I think it was, about the concerns about the extent to which ICANN can or should be imposing restrictions on pricing, and I was trying to come at this from a different way, so this is not to say, you know, registry operator, you must charge X, or you can only charge no more than Y, no more than X number of times the price of a general availability in the Sunrise. I was trying to take it away from that kind of concept, and just introduce something which was basically a commitment by a registry in the form of a mandatory public interest commitment that would go in their Spec 11 or whatever number that spec is in the new world, that just says, you know, if there are registry practices which appear to be calculated to circumvent the rights protection mechanisms, then that's an avenue for a brand owner to seek a remedy via the PIC-DRP, effectively, because there's a commitment from a registry that they will not operate their registry in a manner which circumvents the rights protections. It seems to me mostly that this is relating to issues that we've been talking about in the Sunrise, but conceivable, I suppose, that it might come into play in relation to something that impacts on the claims. I can't think of an example, but I'm trying to kind of legislate for the future, I guess.
Great, thanks, Susan. Just a comment on my part. And I would say that as I read it, I thought the exact same thing as you were saying is it does seem to apply to Sunrise. And I couldn't come up with a way to or an example in claims, but that was just me. So I think I'll leave it open and let anyone provide comments on this. Please go ahead with anybody.
Hi, this is Lori. I can't find my hand.
That's okay. Go ahead, Lori.
Sorry, I'm still not used to Zoom. This is a public interest commitment that is supportive, as you can imagine, by INTA and others in the IP community. We've given this a lot of thought. We've actually suggested other public interest commitments in other contexts that would also bind brand owners, not in the rights protections, but we've put forth similar ideas when it comes to protecting geographical terms on the other side, making sure that trademark owners aren't overstepping or creating confusion with uses of particular geographical names. And I think this is a kind of the reverse of that, where, you know, in good faith, we are trying to work out issues around what is fair. And I think it is fair, given the experiences we had with particular registries that would jack up prices on registered trademarks, trademarks that were in the clearinghouse for tens of thousands of dollars, which is not what was intended by the RPMs in any stretch of the way. And I believe that this kind of public interest commitment addresses that without getting into the whole, you know, are we setting a price or fixing a price? We're just asking for fairness in pricing, and I believe that this achieves that objective.
Okay, great. Thanks, Lori. Again, on that, I think that's valid, but I just don't know that it applies to claims in that instance. But again, I think it's still valid. One question for Susan or Greg or even staff is, Susan, you mentioned this was discussed in the Sunrise team. Do you want to share the outcomes of that discussion? Susan, go ahead and I'll get back to you.
I was trying to get off mute. I'm really sorry because I'm not in the relevant summary document for Sunrise purposes of this call. I know we talked about it. We had a sort of quite a wide-ranging conversation and over quite a long period of time during at least one call. I've got to be honest, I'm not sure quite where we came out on it. I think it's something that undoubtedly may lead to further communication back and forwards on the email list, although I'm not sure that there's been a great deal to date. But if you don't mind me jumping the queue, I noted that there was some comment, Rebecca, you pointed out in the chat that there's not really the data to support this for claims. Being completely frank, I agree with you. I'm not trying to suggest that there is. I think what I was thinking when I was making this proposal was that if one was crafting the kind of pick as being something about not circumventing the rights protection mechanisms, one could craft it in that way. In that sense, it would, you know, there would be the capacity for it to be relied upon in the event that some registry did adopt a practice which in some way undermines the ability to take advantage of claims. Now, you may disagree that that's appropriate, and that's certainly you're certainly entitled to do so. But it seemed to me that we didn't. You know, if what we were talking about was crafting a pick that was, you know, was trying to address not circumventing the RPMs, then that was my point, rather than specifically not circumventing the Sunrise, because, you know, what it to my mind makes no real difference in terms of what the pick looks like. But, you know, you as I say, you may well have a different view on that.
Okay, great. Thanks, Susan. Christine, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Christine Durain. And I may have mentioned this in the Sunrise group also when we talked about this, but just for kind of getting it on the record here is I don't necessarily oppose the concept that Susan's proposing here generally as a principle for this entire working, you know, this entire PDP. But one thing I wanted to add was sort of a different procedural take on it. I actually oppose the idea of a pick. I think that we have mechanisms in place that just need to be tweaked that could include this sort of protection. For instance, and try not to lob any stones at me yet, but for instance, the TMPDDRP. I know we discussed that very early on. I think there was universal agreement that it was not a... It wasn't used because just really, I mean, registries weren't generally abusing their position to take advantage of trademark holders, which if you read the TMPDDRP in depth, that's really its intent. Like there's a lot of minutiae, like do you prove this element or that element? They were very specific about the types of abuse that the TMPDDRP was for, but I think you could almost make it better. Because if you make a pick DRP, you end up with a bunch of other problems. Make a pick, you end up with a bunch, you introduce a whole bunch of other problems into the mix, such as who has standing to enforce and bring the claims and how those claims get adjudicated. If you use the TMPDDRP and just tweak the elements of what constitutes really just abusing trademark holders as a registry operator, then you have a process already in place. You have providers already in place. You have a system that already includes at least forums decisions. I don't know if the other providers do, but essentially it's a loser pays system. So both parties who want to participate in there, who participate in the PDRP put up money, loser wins, or loser gets, loser pay, you know, forfeits and the winner gets their money back. So there's a lot of advantages to sort of taking something that exists for the purpose for which it was created and kind of making it a little bit better to address actual instances of maybe perhaps what we might be considering to be registry operator abuses. I'm not going to go so far as to say they have been abusive, but in the event that people think they are, I think we have tools and I don't think we have to add new ones. Thanks.
Great, thanks, Christine. And I think we'll take Greg as the last voice here. Please go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, Greg Shatton for the record. You know, to some extent, I think this is a drafting philosophy issue, which is whether we draft, you know, narrowly for the problem we see, or more broadly for the taking into account the future ingenuity of those who might try to game, or those who might try to registries who might try to kind of disenfranchise an RPM. You know, it may be that if we have a broad rule, it's too broad. Maybe if we have a narrow rule that somebody does figure out a way to kind of, you know, disadvantage claims to the point where it's no longer working. And then we have to come back the next time this group reconvenes in 2025 to figure out what to do about it then. So, you know, I think it's a philosophical question. I am intrigued by what Christine has said, too, because I think that, you know, the PDDRP is, you know, something that, you know, I worked on a bit in creating it, and really, you know, I think it has more applicability, and I think we should look at it for that. If we create a pick, then we're just, you know, driving the ultimate compliance issue on one hand toward compliance and the other hand toward the pick DRP. I think there's, you know, the question, you know, both of whether there is a problem or a potential problem, and how to best go about it, and not creating, you know, certainly not creating new processes, and I think we can do to make old processes, you know, more viable. I think is definitely worth a look. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Greg. All right, I think we're bumping up on time, so I will turn it back over to staff.
Yeah, thanks so much, Roger. This is Julie Hedlund from staff, and thank you all for joining. We'll go ahead and adjourn so that there's time for folks who are on the next call to be able to transition. And thank you very much for chairing, Roger, and we hope you all have a great day. This meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining, and please remember to disconnect all remaining lines. Have a wonderful rest of your day.